right now it is time to bring in Ruth Epstein from the Republican American. Ruth covers our area, of course. You can find her stories in the paper, newsstands, and online, rep-am.com. Good morning, Ruth.
Good morning, guys. Oh, kind of grim, adding to grim this week. Obviously, we're covering all the things about coronavirus, and then we had the horrible, horrific accident out in East Canaan that took the life of Shay Cohn. However, you and I were there on Saturday at this parade that was just heartwarming. More than 300 cars passing by to pay their respects to the family, and you've got it on video, correct, Marshall?
It's up on Facebook Live, and as of now, has almost 12,000 visits. 12,000, and at the peak of it live, there were over 1,600 people watching it. But now, full watches is close to 9,000 watches. And we also are making a videotape for the family itself, which was done just a little bit differently. But the amazing thing about it, Ruth, and you were I rode by on my way to Falls Village, the high school. You were at the high school. Everybody followed the rules. Families were in cars. There were no carpooling with the. If you were a family, you could be in the car. Nobody could carpool, and everybody stayed in their cars. And 320 some cars passed by the Cohen family.
Everyone I've spoken to since said they'd never seen anything like it. They gathered at the high school. They had volunteers out there helping to move cars. It wended its way down Warren Turnpike onto Main Street in Falls Village, and it was orderly, it was somber, it was uplifting. Strains of Piano Man could be heard coming from many of the cars. That was his favorite song that he played on the piano, and just a wonderful tribute.
Especially in this time where when people have somebody pass away, there are no services right now. This was a nice way to have the community come by and acknowledge their love of the Cohen family and Shay. It was unbelievable, is what it was.
It was, and it's such a difficult time with not being able to grieve, and this was a very nice way to do it. So, as you know, we're going to be meeting on Zoom for most of the meetings coming up in the near future. Today, Region 1 Board will be on Zoom, as will Salisbury Board of Selectmen. So, if you're interested, any folks who are interested could watch. You have to just go to the website, find out how to click on it, and do that, and you can listen and watch what's going on. And I would assume they'd have public comment. If you want to comment, you can get in there and say your piece. Tomorrow night is Cornwall Board of Selectmen. I believe they're doing it as well. And on Thursday, we have Council of Governments, and I believe that, too, will be put on Zoom.
Now, I want to point out an article that you wrote of, and I have mentioned it in our newscast, that people can go to REP, they can either buy the paper or go to rep-am.com. Your interview with Curtis Rand was a great interview because you really went over the budget, and Curtis mentioned that, guess what, folks, you know, under the executive order that was issued by the governor, these selectmen, one of the few times this is ever going to happen in New England history, can go ahead and set that budget, and the finance board can go ahead and set that tax rate.
Right.
And if you want to participate, you're going to have to do it via Zoom, but that's about it.
I mean, we're getting down to, you know, crunch time. This is the month for all public hearings, and then the votes early May for most of these budgets, and obviously it doesn't look as if meetings are going to resume, regular type meetings, by the time these budgets are ready to go. So thankfully, I guess, there is this mechanism for selectmen getting the budgets approved, because towns have to move on and get their budgets passed. So
It's not perfect, but you know what? It is
what it is. It's a solution.
It's a solution.
Exactly.
And
yeah.
People can use it. And that, I hate to sound old-fashioned, but necessity is the mother of invention, mm-hmm. and we are seeing certain things.
We just have to make changes as times warrant,
right. And adjust as they shift. And it is so interesting to me, just as an observer, you know, people don't have the easiest time adjusting and getting that it's, you know, fluid. It's fluid. It's what is happening on Tuesday is not necessarily the way it's going to be on Thursday.
Absolutely.
And if
Absolutely.
You can just relax around that, I'm sorry to sound twee, but just, it's like, all right, you know, you can't extrapolate. Take the week off.
But you know, Ruth, what is also interesting is what developed the end of last week with Sharon Healthcare Center.
Yeah,
how Brent Colley and Maria Horn, and folks, we want to put it this way: it's not keeping COVID-19 out of our area. It's here. We just spoke with Mark Kirko from Sharon Hospital. They're treating cases at Sharon Hospital. Mm-hmm. The more advanced cases they send to their bigger medical centers down in Danbury and also at Vassar Brothers. But what's interesting is that Sharon Healthcare basically right now is not equipped to become a COVID-19 facility. And I think both our first selectman and Sharon and Maria Horn made that clear to the state that if you're going to do something like this and it's a fluid situation, well, then have the appropriate staff and have the appropriate equipment be on site.
Yeah, and as somebody pointed out, you know, we're tucked away here so far from other areas. You're not going to be carrying people from, you know, middle of the state or eastern part of the state to come here to bring them to Sharon Healthcare. It just doesn't make sense.
And it doesn't make sense moving people out of Sharon Health. Right now, people can't visit their loved ones in healthcare centers anyway.
Right.
And to move them farther away, the healthy residents farther away is even more stressful on those healthy residents. Right now, it's a stressful situation for residents in any long-term care facility simply because, you know what? They're more susceptible to COVID-19.
And right. You're locked out.
Yeah.
And this is, you know, it's another example where you have to think something all the way through.
We're living in such unbelievable times. It's just, and you're right, Jill, you have to, you know,
A concept is good, but you've got to see the execution is important. And
yeah. Yep.
You know,
yeah.
Again, we haven't had a lot of sufficient practice.
Someone is going to post a picture on the Sharon, Connecticut Facebook page of this weekend. At the entrance to Lime Rock Park, there were about 15 cars and about 15 or 20 people all gathered together. And the person rode by and said, you know, you really should practice social distancing. And they just looked at this person and then went back to talking. And then she went by like 30 minutes later and they were still there.
Oh, my.
It's things like that people just have to understand that, gosh, as insignificant as it seems, it all takes is one person.
Absolutely.
What people
Absolutely.
Just don't.
They just, yeah, it's very disturbing to watch
people,
because, you know, they may be young and healthy, but, you know, you go home and you spread it to your parents, your grandparents, or
you
whomever.
Get it yourself.
Yeah. Well, very, and yourself. They're
the very
lots of interesting young people.
The very interesting thing that was initially noticed in Italy and plays out, if you look at the Connecticut stats, is the median age is 50.
Yeah.
You know, and there, I keep pointing out to people, there is no cure, folks. There is, no matter what you, there
you
is no cure
symptoms,
for it.
You can treat symptoms, but right now,
that's about it. Once you know, if you can self put yourself in under lockdown, but if you don't get better and you go to the hospital, they can help you along. But there is no magic bullet, and there's no magic bullet on the way. I mean,
but there's also
the one magic bullet is social distancing.
To prevent it. But I'm struck by what you said because I if you recall, I drove by yesterday, and I called you and I said, what's going on at Lime Rock?
And Lime Rock was closed.
I understand.
That was a whole thing.
It was so obvious because you saw it from the – I happened to be on White Hollow going over. I looked to the right, and I was like, why are there 8 cars here, 9 cars? What's up with that?
As of today also, Kent Falls State Park is closed.
And the state is checking if there's any cars parked outside, and they will go in, and you will be arrested. Mm. It's plain and simple.
Yeah, I mean, it's just shame because you know, it is a nice place to be, and if you can spread out, weekends, everybody piles in there, and it just exacerbates the problem.
One final note. Even though the Appalachian Trail has recommended you not be on the Appalachian Trail, I can tell you, being by my house this weekend, the number of cars were incredible. Mm-hmm. I literally probably hundreds of cars going up and down, and then the pictures of the parking areas on Route 41, absolutely packed with cars,
wow.
Side by side by side.
People are not as people could do better. Let's just say that.
Yeah.
All right. Well, Ruth, you're going to have a busy week watching Zoom.
Yeah. I can sit at my home here. And I must tell you one funny thing that Curtis mentioned. They had a meeting, the Board of Finance and the Board of Selectmen, and they were on Zoom. And God bless Patrick Sullivan. He was watching, and all they could see was plumes of cigar smoke.
That's right. There you go.
So be careful what you're doing when
you're
on Zoom.
That's exactly right. Turn that camera off.
And do not go to the loo.
All right.
You've got to have some humor.
That's it. All right, Ruth.
Okay, stay well, folks, and we'll talk again.
Yeah, you and Ed, stay healthy and your family.
Thank you.
All right,
bye.
Take care. Ruth Epstein from the Republican American with the Republican American Report here on Robin Hood Radio.